This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Power Lunch with Laura Bennett.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. In this episode, we're hearing from none other than Stan Walker, the Aussie-born Kiwi who won Australian Idol in 2009, but the last 10 years in the industry, he has shown so much that he can do on the stage. I've seen him do a backflip a few years ago now. He has also acted. If you haven't seen A Hunt for the Wilder People, go and do yourself a favour. Just bless yourself by watching that. Some movie homework for you. But I got him in the room to talk about his new EP, Faith, Hope, Love, which is pretty special for a couple of reasons. One is that it sees him coming back to Australia for a tour after 5 years away from the country when he was recovering from a cancer diagnosis, dealing with everything that that involved. You might have seen the Stan documentary about a year or so ago where Stan opened up about the genetic mutation in his family line that has seen more than 25 people pass away from the disease. Just crazy in so many ways to witness what they've gone through. And at the time where Stan got stomach cancer, his mum had breast cancer. So both of them were sharing that journey together and then opened it up to the world as well. So really cool to see that he's coming back with some new music. But it's also a pretty special EP because being from New Zealand, when in March there was a mosque attack in Christchurch, that hit Stan pretty hard. And now he's a Christian guy and decided to use the opportunity to support those that were affected, have conversations about how different religions relate to one another, and also just feed in some positivity and some healing into what was a really tragic time. I hope you enjoy the conversation, and make sure you check out where you can see Stan performing Faith, Hope and Love live as well. I'll tell you that now. Just go to his website, stanwalker.com.au, and you'll get all the info. But enough from me. Let's hear from Mr. Stan Walker. Good to have you.
It's good to be here.
Now, last time we chatted was just after the Stan doco, obviously taking everybody through what had happened with your cancer journey. So, first of all, how are you? Are you doing well?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, and how's your mum?
Oh, she's crack up as ever. She's my mum is my mum, and she's always going to be the same thing she is. Nah, she's doing really awesome. She's all my family live in Melbourne, and I live in New Zealand. Oh, one brother and his wife and kids lives in Brisbane, so
no, can't forget them.
Yeah, everybody's doing good.
Yeah, that's good. It's good because watching that story unfold, obviously a lot of your fans following the journey, feeling kind of concerned for your health, and then seeing that you came out the other side, going through that process now, looking back on it, how do you feel like you have come out the other side now as a person?
That was kind of the end of a very long season. It was kind of like the last straw, but also the turning point. It's like there's this, when you're breaking through a roof or going to another level, there's this, I think I was talking about it with my mate and I forgot what the space, it's like this aluminum space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's between like life and death.
Right.
And I had finally hit that space because I felt like I was in just the desert for 2 years and just losing everything, but not to the point of completely lost. And that was the last point. And I was fortunate, and like, it was like the breaking out of an old season, going into a new season. Not many people can do that, or not many people have. You know, there's a lot of people in life that, you know, haven't broke through. So for me, that was the end of a very long season that I came into a whole new, like, it was like I was being born again in a whole nother way. And it was like the biggest blessing in disguise. And I was like, oh gosh, I could have came like way earlier.
Right,
so
right.
I had to go through like 2 years of turmoil and
yeah.
Nah, but yeah, so coming out on the other side, I felt like I felt like a completely different person. I had a different mind. I had a stronger mind. You know, not everything's perfect, and I'm not even, I guess we're never going to be really there.
Yeah, you never arrive.
But I'm definitely on my way in a way that I've never been on my way.
Right. So you kind of feel like going through cancer taught you stuff about yourself and kind of realigned your perspectives a little bit.
Yeah, it was the, I think it was just the, everything, just losing everything. Like before the cancer was just kind of cherry on top. The cancer wasn't even the issue for me. It was the recovery time was the issue. It was having to take all that time off. That was the issue.
Yeah.
It really like just, it really annoyed me.
So and how do you get over the anger of that and the frustration?
Well, I've just been blessed with just opportunities beyond what I ever thought and beyond what I deserve and beyond my even what I'm capable of, I think. I guess I just have to step into it. So I think in this like new season and this new beginning of the new me since like the end of 2017, I just went all in with no fear, with no the biggest thing was when I went just specifically the cancer, I just said to myself, never ever am I gonna let nobody tell me how I should, when I should, with what I should, with who I should. I'm going to do it on my terms, and I'm going to do it when I want to, how I want to. Not in an aggressive way. It's like no longer I'm going to wait on somebody to tell me, now you have permission.
Yeah,
I've been given the permission. I was like, I ain't going to go through that. And like, I was just like, what have I been doing? I've been waiting on people to tell me when I can. Like, that's like I'm a kid.
Yeah, you just got to go for it.
And I was just like, no, God didn't put me into this position for me to just like bow down and go, oh, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here or I don't think that's right. I'm like, nah, that ain't right. Or, yo, this is what I'm doing.
It's given you focus and helped you kind of grow up in a way.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I'm still not grown, but you know, I feel like I'm grown.
Like an adult.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm adulting.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm getting by.
Yeah, and you are coming back into the music space with your new EP, Faith, Hope, Love, doing a tour, which is just incredible. How did you know that you were ready to do it? Because physically, that's obviously quite demanding, and emotionally, going back onto stage must have been a big deal.
I was more eager than ever to get back on stage. Like, I went on my first tour last year in New Zealand. Straight after, when I wasn't even fully recovered, I went straight into festival season, was doing festivals. This was before nobody even knew anything that was happening, way before the documentary came out. And then when it came out, they're like, are you right? I was like, you just seen that I just did 10 festivals, surely. Because my head was already way ahead of my body. I just was like, come on, body, wake up. I need to get out on that stage. But coming back to Australia, to tour is like I've been coming over here doing festivals and doing gigs and stuff like that, but this is, it's my tour that people come to see me for me. So I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm excited to do new songs, even songs from the old EP that came out new, and then even more new songs that I'm yet to release that have been on hold. Yeah, I just can't wait to get back out with my fans and like, you know, you get a new car or something. Like, I can't wait to show everybody my new car. What I've got. I'm like, this is how we go. This is how fast it is. This is what it looks like. Yes, is it? That's what I can't wait to do. That's what I'm really excited to do. That.
Yeah, and their fans will be stoked to be able to see you performing again and obviously listening to new music. They, like you say, they didn't know what was going on from right from the beginning, but fans have obviously been a part of your story right back from Idol days. So how have they helped you through this particular season?
I didn't really see it until I went on tour in New Zealand. I hadn't toured for like 3 years. And the last tour I did was actually Australia, not
even
New Zealand.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, I better actually go on the road here. These people are like, angry at me. But I didn't expect anything. Doesn't matter what I've done in the past or how popular I've been in the past. I don't ever expect anything. I'm expecting to go in as a new artist. When I started, when the end of 2017 come, I was like, yes, I'm starting again as a new artist. I'm going to just expect nobody knows me, whatever. I want to come in fresh and I want to earn my space.
Yeah.
I want to earn my place, earn the space that I'm in. So I went on the road and I was like, oh, are we going there? Oh, like, I went to venues. I'm like, this is way too big. I was supposed to be doing an intimate tour. I was like, no way. Every single show was sold out.
Wow.
And I was told that the tour was going to fail by certain people because I have no new music. I wasn't doing it through them. We did the tour independently, me and my mum. My mum is a gangster.
That is awesome.
We own a promotion company. She did it all on her own back. She organised everything. I just did all the creative. She did all the real work. And then we did a sold out tour, and I just, like, every night I looked at my fans and they were singing every song, and that's when I was just like, whoa. Like, so when you say, like, what do they mean to me, how they, I was like, for that, I was just like, man, I can't believe through all these years and all the build up tours that I was supposed to do and something happened, you showed up, I got nothing new to show you, but obviously a new show and everything like that.
Mm.
And they were like, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is where I'm meant to be. And so many times in my career, I've wanted to give up and I've wanted to just leave it. And I've hated music and I've hated the industry. Like, I know hate's a strong word, but I got to those points.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. Now I remember why I started doing this. Now I remember why I was called to do this and not and why I was chosen to do this. I was like, because I'm here to woo people. I'm here to sing them back to God. That's what I was shown. I'm here to bring healing to them. I'm here to inspire them. And I was just like, yo, you guys are gangster.
And I think it works though, because you don't take it for granted. You love your fans and you know it. Like, I think keeping that kind of grounded headspace is part of why people love what you do and love your music. It just works. And there's a space in your music too that is obviously quite meaningful to you in new ways. With this current EP, Faith, Hope, Love, you've done it to kind of connect and in a way dedicate it to the people that were affected by the Christchurch mosque attack.
Yeah.
Why did you want to do that?
When everything was happening, it was a shock for the whole world, but it was a shock especially for New Zealand just to experience something that we see on TV that's on the other side of the world. And instead of people coming together to empathise and have compassion and to mourn and to be still and wait for them or ask them, what do you need? People started coming out and using a massacre and death as an opportunity to express their point of views. And it made me really sad. I was angry. I felt disgusted. But it made me really sad. And I was like, there's this verse in the Bible. It's like, and James is like, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry. Naturally, I'm a reactor. I react straight away. The way we were brought up, man, I'm fighting.
It's good you know that.
Yelling. And I'm like, man, and I got something to say real quick.
Yeah.
But I do not want to react out of anger. I don't want to react. Reacting is like, I'm like, I want to be still, then respond accordingly. And honest to God, I was like, praying. I was like, God, like, what do I say? Because people are expecting me to say something. And then I'm like, who am I to say something? But the thing is, I hold a position and I'm on a platform where people look to people like me to give them something. And I'm like, really? I'm just doing what I'm doing. Like,
just a Kiwi singer, guys.
I'm just like, what am I up to? I don't know anything. But people literally do. And so I went away and I'm like, man, I like, bawling my eyes out, like, you know, this is my own thing. I'm not trying to put this on anybody. Or like, oh my gosh, you feel something. I was like, I don't know what to say. And I was like, God, what do I say? And so I thought music is like the perfect tool to bring healing, to bring hope, and to encourage people, and to like break down barriers. Because it's not like, it's not a, everybody thinks it's this battle between people, man. There's so much, you already know. Like, it's not that kind of battle.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual battle. And if I can use my words through music, the gift that God has given me to bring hope, healing, then I can. And so we went in the studio. So three of the songs, there's a song called Aotearoa. It's a song
I'm
wrote.
I'm glad you pronounced it. I was reading it and I'm thinking, I'm not even going to give that a go.
That's basically New Zealand and Māori. The Land of the Long White Clouds. And I did a song. It was the first song I ever did in my own language, in my mother tongue. And we released it, but we wrote it in English first and then translated it. So I released the English version because more now than ever at that time, it was like, it was the song for our nation. Not because it was my song. It was the song for our nation because the chorus is, no matter if you're near or far, we come from the land of God. No matter where you belong, we will fight for your freedom. And I was like, oh my God, now we've got to fight for these people. Like, no matter where you come from. So I released that. And then I did Ultralight Beam, which is a Kanye, Kirk Franklin, Chance the Rapper song. And it's like, deliver us serenity, deliver us peace. And it was like, we need a God dream. Like, and it was like, stop all the fighting. Like, and I was like, this is what we need. I'm going to sing these songs. And then I did Don't Dream It's Over, but in my language. And it's like this whole thing of like, they're not going to win.
Right.
They're not going to beat us.
Yeah.
And then I wrote with my best mate, New Light, And that was my heart. That's what I felt. Like, there's the lyrics, just like, and I got cleared from Hillsong to put the stand in there, the bridge of the stand.
You got to ask these questions before you just pinch stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have even got out. So, like, I was just like, what can I say? But I also want to challenge people too. Like, there's a second verse, just like, all these questions, who we pray to, but basically, is that what you're saying coming out of love? And if love is the answer, then our words ain't enough. And then I was like, we got a long way to go, but I want you to know you don't have to do it alone. Because as a Christian, it's hard, like, and sometimes I'm the worst example, to be honest. I'm human. I stuff up all the time.
Yeah, we all do. It's okay.
But this was a moment that we had to be ultimate reflectors of Jesus, not reflectors of what we want or how we think it should be. We had to get out of the way and let Jesus shine. God gave us all one thing, choice. He allowed people to have their place of worship. He allowed people to make that choice, whether it be good or bad. Our job is to be Jesus. Jesus came to serve. He was in there with the hoes and the murderers and all, you know, like, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
All of it, yeah.
The only time I remember him ever getting angry was when he turned over the tables in the church. And I was just like, this is not our job to say, oh, God don't need a defender. He is the defender. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is my conviction.
Yeah.
And I was just like, if Jesus is love and we are Christians to be like Christ, then we need to be acting in love. So this is why I wanted to write the song. I wanted to stand for them. And I don't understand a lot of it, but knowing this is my duty to be Christ in the situation, to stand for you,
yeah.
Whether I do it right or wrong, but I just want to be a reflector, and I'm going to get out of the way, and like that's what my heart was in this song and this EP.
Yeah, it's human compassion that you've really that you've really touched on, and I think you've mentioned it, that you've had this space to create your own voice and say what you want to say and really carve it out. And even in talking to you, I can tell that your conviction in your faith and your passion for stuff moving forward has grown so much, even in the 10 years since you did Idol. Moving forward now, like, what is it that you really want to say with your music and kind of be known for now as an artist?
I'm a lot of things. I'm like a party bag of lollies. I've always thought that I was just with this one lolly, maybe there's two, sometimes I'm like, man, why am I so like just everything? But because I've had so many different experiences that I want to share all of them to show the many different windows inside of a big house that I have, rather than just this one window. So on the new music that I have, I talk about I talk about my relationships, the good stuff, the bad stuff. I talk about being Indigenous. I talk about the struggles that I've had in the industry. I talk about the bad stuff, the good stuff, the ugly stuff, the nice stuff. I talk about my faith. There's like songs like that just show all sorts version of myself, the whole thing. And yet, it's still not the whole thing. That's just for that space and time and that for that album. But I'm not so concerned. Like, obviously, I want success and, you know, I want everything to go mean. Buy my music, get my stuff, come to my shows. Like, I love that. Of course I love that. But that is not my goal. My goal is to be change. My goal is to be hope, life, and joy. That is my every prayer that I pray before I perform. Before I sing, and my team know it, that we are there to serve the people, to bring hope, life, and joy. And that's what more I want now. Obviously, I want to make money. You know, I want to buy houses. I want to travel and do fun things.
You want to live the dream.
Like, I ain't gonna lie. You know, I just want to just be poor and just, you know, hell no. I want to make some money too. But I want to be the change.
Yeah.
And I want to really help people. Sometimes I get tired of it and I'm like, ugh, stuff yous.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, ugh, tired of yous, tired of everybody. I need to help my own self. But I really do genuinely want to help people. And, man, that's like, as hard as it is so worth it when you hear a mother come to you in the line, bawling her eyes out, saying, thank you so much. My daughter didn't want to kill herself. She went to kill herself and she saw you. She's like, she'd been trying to kill herself for ages, and then she listened to your music or saw you in an interview, and I'm like, That's why I do what I do. I've had couples like, you saved our marriage. We listened to your song and we were reminded of why we signed that, our name, why we said our vows.
Yep.
And as hard as it gets, we're going to choose to love and work through it.
Mm.
We're going to counselling and doing I'm like, me?
It's amazing.
Little old me? My rugged self? I'm like, man, I don't know nothing.
That's why it works though. And look, I know we're coming up on time, but I wanted to ask you, in those times where you have just wanted to give it all up, you're fed up with the industry, you're just fed up with the whole thing, how do you not? Because taking care of your mental health and your own well-being is so important in this space.
It is. It is. Oh, man, that's, you know, I've actually tried to walk away from God so many times because I felt like it's easier. But unfortunately, I know the truth, and I can't. But also at the same time, I've been on the edge that many times, and I haven't held on. He held on to me. That's the trippy thing about God. I'm in these positions, and I'm doing these things, not because I'm worthy. It's because I'm not worthy, and also because I am, like, he's made me worthy. Like, I don't deserve it, but he's like, I'm still going to give it to you. Like, there's my mum and my dad. They are my backbone. And it's like God speaks to them every time I need. Man, it's like really scary. Like, I'm like, whoa.
And
I'm
so trying to your mum and dad.
Yeah, and I have to like hold back tears while on the phone. My dad ring up and goes, son. I'm like, what, Papa? He's like, God woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, yeah, and I'm thinking,
what's it gonna be?
And he goes, what's the matter? I was like, why? Why did he wake me up at 3 o'clock? And that would be the time where I'm like struggling, or I'm at a, like, nah, that's it, I'm done. Like, or like I'm depressed, or I'm like having an anxiety attack, or I'm getting, I don't know, something. So my mum and dad have just been my backbone, because I'm the result and I'm the byproduct of their prayers and good friends. And all the babies in my life, hey, all my nephews and nieces, my stepdaughter, they are the most pure little beings. And, like, I just see them and I'm like, man, I actually, like, those are things. It's like all these little things of just actual hope and life and joy that keep me, the things that I want to be, I have those things in my life. And sometimes it's hard for me to get out of it, but I'm just glad that I've got the mentors and my youth pastor, who I hardly ever talk to, but he's still my main man. He's my go-to.
Yeah.
I can not talk to him for 3 years, but I'll just ring him up. And he's like, Stanley. Yeah. I'm like, well.
What's your middle name? Does he go middle name?
Oh, yes. No, so he does call me. He lives in Sydney. It's Roto, but he calls me Roto. Okay, is what's happening, Roto?
Stanley Roto.
He's like, Roto, come on, Roto. I'm like, you better shut up, Sam.
It makes us just sound rough. Hey, well, Stan, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. New takeover, the tour, you got to go see it. You got to go get Faith, Hope and Love as well. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you.
And that is it for this week's Power Lunch. Thank you for listening. Would love for you to subscribe, rate it, share it with your friends, and let me know what you think. Until next time, see you later.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.